the only one here who knows illegal ninja moves from the government?
Chris.
Who throws a shoe? Honestly.
Ben.
Who would steal 30 bag lunches?
Danny.
Oh, you guys like to tell jokes and giggle and kid around, huh? Giggling like a bunch of young boys from the schoolyard.
Shoddy Radio.
Hey, welcome to Shoddy Radio. Thank you so much for listening. This episode starts out midway into a conversation about Chris now living with a female and the changes he's forced to make in his life based on that fact. And then we transition from there into some discussion about the celebrity friends of the show list that we have, and we update that based on Comic-Con 2012 and the Aurora, Colorado tragedy, and whether or not you should be allowed to joke about tragedies, and if you are allowed to, what's the grace period, how long do you have to wait, and is it offensive or is it not offensive? Oh, we also talk about Cool Runnings a little bit before that. But then at the end, James Enox, musical director James Enox, stumbles into the studio and basically mumbles for a while without a microphone. So enjoy.
Yeah. One time, another girlfriend in the past, I'm not going to name names, but I saw the hazards of a plumbing disaster, and I was surprised. I thought, damn, I don't even crap that big.
Now, what about you? Do you try to be...
I used to try to be discreet, but... Every day when I come home, I've got a pretty good schedule. I need to drop a big load every day.
Now, when you say load, do you mean poop?
I mean a backdoor load, yeah.
Still, you're going to have to qualify that.
I take care of the backdoor load before I even think about the front door.
Do you ever worry that you, like, fart in your sleep?
Yeah, I do worry. I usually clench up pretty good. But I know I let something fly a couple nights ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because it woke me up.
You, like, jump up into a karate stance.
Well, it felt like somebody was moving the sheets around. And somebody was.
They were moving the sheets around.
Oh, man. iTunes voted us the most mature podcast.
We literally just hit record.
As soon as we hit record, like, poop, titties.
All right, well, here, I'll tell a story from Comic-Con.
Okay. At Comic-Con, I pooped on some titties.
So, I was at Comic-Con a week ago or 2 weeks ago or whatever. I don't remember anymore. But I got invited to do a podcasting panel. Did I tell you about this, Ben?
No.
I was on a podcasting panel at Comic-Con, which was really fun. There's this guy named Chris Gore who is on the G4 network. He's on Attack of the Show sometimes, and I think he has some other movie-related stuff. He has a podcast called Pod Crash, which is basically he goes on other podcasts as a guest, and then he puts his appearances on other podcasts out as his own podcast, basically. So he crashes other shows, and that's his show. And he was doing a live Pod Crash podcast at Comic-Con, and the producer for his show emailed me and asked me if I'd be part of it. And I was pretty nervous because it's live on stage in front of people and stuff, and I've never done that before. But, man, it was so much fun. Like, it was totally a blast.
Who else was on the panel?
Well, that's the guy that hosts Attack of the Show. I cannot remember this guy's name. I should think of the guy's name. Do you have you ever watched that show, Ben?
A little bit. It annoys me.
You should look up Attack of the Show while I'm telling you this story and find out the guy that just either got fired or quit from that show. And then, but the other thing was that the rest of the podcasts that were on the show were mainly comic podcasts. comic related or movie related. And most of the comic slash movie related podcasts are done by semi socially awkward people. So there's a lot of really, like, there was like, I don't remember, 5 to 10 podcasts there. A lot of them were very nervous people that weren't very good on stage, which made me feel extra confident when I went on stage.
Maybe they were just fans of our show and they just know how much of a comic force you are.
Well, when I say comic, I don't mean comic. They're not comic shows. Like, I mean comic like.
They are to comedy what you are to comedy.
No. What I mean is like comic as in, you know, like Batman and Robin or.
Oh, like comic books.
Yeah, because this was at Comic-Con, which is all comic book related stuff mainly. So that a lot of them were like, it was like a Marvel versus, I don't know.
DC.
DC comic podcast. And then another, some weird comic book podcast. And the people that are really into comic books are also socially awkward.
Man, so far this is a really good story.
So, but listen, it is a good story. Let me finish. So I went on stage, but I didn't have much time because the guy from Attack of the Show took up a bunch of the time. And so the producer at the end was telling me like, oh, you know, it might be really short. And everyone, like the three people before me had to go really, really short, especially because they weren't funny. So I thought I was going to have to go for like a minute or something too. But when I got up there, I just said, all right, Chris, I don't have a lot of time. So I'll just get right into it. On our show, we've been having I promoted Chatty Radio, and I said, we've been having a debate for years about how many people you think right now in San Diego are watching Cool Runnings. And he's like he's basically made his career on reviewing movies. So we just had a like discussion about Cool Runnings, and it was fun. And I was kind of funny on stage. I got a bunch of laughs. And afterwards, like within an hour and a half of going there, I went to a bar in San Diego. And did you see the video I posted on our Facebook page, by the way, Ben?
I did, yes.
So within an hour and a half, I walked into a bar in San Diego, and at the bar, they were playing Cool Runnings, and there was everyone in the bar was just watching Cool Runnings. Did you see the video, Chris, that I posted on Facebook?
You showed it to me.
So I have to admit, Chris, I'm coming a little bit farther your way on a Cool Runnings debate.
Were people literally watching Cool Runnings, though, or was it just on in the background?
They couldn't turn away from it.
You can't. Did you see? I mean,
is there a Cool Runnings drinking game that we don't know of?
Chris?
We should start one.
I don't know. I just thought
would have to happen to take a shot?
Every time John Candy believes in the guys.
Was the guy's name Kevin?
Yeah, Kevin something.
Kevin Pereira or something?
Yeah, that's it.
Too bad Candace Bailey wasn't there.
You're preaching to the choir, dog. Who's Candace Bailey?
Apparently she's one of the co-hosts, and she's a little easier on the eyes than old Kevin.
Kevin Pereira makes Ben Shields look like Manute Bol.
Oh, he's short?
Yeah.
How short?
Shorter than you.
Oh, so he's like 6'1"? Do you think that people that listen to this show that don't know us at all, do you think they ever wonder like who's the tallest or who has the biggest biceps and stuff like that?
Well, I think they know I'm the winner of all those categories.
No, they don't.
Well, they assume. Because of my domineering personality, they just assume that my physical appearance must be alpha male as well.
People know that I have some Asian in my blood, so they probably automatically assume that I'm the shortest one and the smartest one.
They're half right.
It's true.
Do they assume that you're the fattest one?
Probably. Does my voice sound fat?
No, your voice is so monotone. I wouldn't have any idea what you looked like if I heard your voice.
Are fat people usually not monotone?
I don't know. They don't have that low monotone usually. And they're not usually so cutting with their sarcasm.
Now, if you've never met Chris and you're just going by his voice, what would you think that his body shape would be?
I think my voice sounds girthy.
That's a good question.
Is that because your esophagus is so girthy from all those girthy cocks you swallow?
Dude.
Man, that's fucked up.
You believe he went there?
Ben, that ain't even right.
I can't believe Ben went there.
I've heard listeners have told me that they think my voice sounds girthy and floppy.
Is that like an email you get?
Yeah, I get that a lot.
What if someone actually emailed you and told you your voice sounded floppy and girthy? I don't even, that sounds like two of the worst, the Snow White dwarves.
They're in the new movie.
Girthy, floppy, smelly.
Sticks to your leggy.
Anyway, it was really fun doing something live, and I really want to do something live with our podcast, like something on stage sometime, because it was really fun getting, not just sitting in a dark room and recording my voice and hoping that someday in the future someone might think something I said was somewhat clever. Like, immediate feedback
actually,
was nice.
In real time, not entertaining anyone.
Getting no laughs in real time would be a lot better.
You don't want to wait to disappoint people.
No, it was really fun, and I hope we can. I hope we can have Chris Gore on our show to do a pod crash of our show at some point. I'm talking.
What's his name?
Chris Gore.
What I thought his show was is that if you had like an old rundown podcast, he would come along, and then he would like paint the walls and fix it up a little.
He's like the Bob Vila of podcasts.
You couldn't have gone any more recent than that. How many shows are there on TV where they come along and like Pimp Your Ride or Fix Your House? You went Bob Vila.
He's still the go-to guy.
No, he's not.
Yeah. He'll insulate Ben, our studio.
Ben, who's the go-to guy for house repair? I already know my answer.
I would probably go with Mr. Move That Bus. What's his name?
The guy.
Fuck, I can't even think of his name. He's so relevant.
He's the guy that Kroll always talks about, right?
Tyler Pennington?
Yeah, Ty Pennington.
Ty Pennington, yes.
He Bob Vila's still in the game, isn't he?
If the game means a grave. You know Bob Vila died, right?
Did he?
Got hit by a bus.
he's not dead.
He was the rival of Tim the Toolman Taylor.
I know he was, but you also have to understand that show was on the air 15 years ago.
Right.
You're talking about that like it comes on every...
You should have said, I don't think so, Tim. It was always funny when Al didn't think so.
Hey, Chris, wasn't your brother and his wife on one of those like home fix-up shows or where they redo your yard or whatever?
Yeah, I don't think that show's still on TV anymore either.
Do you remember what it was called?
It was called Take Over My Makeover.
Was it on HGTV?
I don't have any idea what channel it was on.
Sometimes I feel like a cliche. Like me and Sonia on the weekends, like we'll wake up a little later because we slept in, and we'll watch like Yard Crashers and stuff.
Is there a show called Yard Crashers?
There is, yeah, and it's a guy, he'll go through like a Home Depot or something, and it started in the Sacramento area, so he'll be in, and it's kind of funny because you can tell like what neighborhoods they live in, if they're like in East Sac or something, but they'll go to like a hardware store, and then they'll ask people what their yard is like, and if they need anything done, and then they go to their house and like make over their yard for free.
Wow. Do you want to get on that show, Ben?
Well, our yard is about the size of a gas station bathroom, so it'd probably be good if they wanted to do like a 30-second commercial of what you get to do your yard. We have a really tiny yard. You remember that time when you and Tanya came to visit and she wanted to put her dog in my yard?
Yeah.
And the yard was so small that the dog was like, fuck it, I'll sit in the car.
I do remember that.
What was the coolest thing you've seen at Comic-Con?
I saw a bunch of celebrities. I met Ian McKellen.
Who's that?
Sir Ian McKellen. He's Gandalf and Magneto. Yeah. I met him twice in a week.
Did he hit on you?
Kind of.
Did he remember you?
Yes, he did remember me from the first time. Because I saw him a week before at the art gallery, the Gallery Nucleus. He was at the Beatles opening, and I was there. And we had a, like, what do you call it? A...
69.
Well, anyway, I saw him there, and then a week later at Comic-Con at like 1 a.m, I saw him again just walking. He was in the convention center, and I just happened to be walking by it at 1 a.m, and it's like way closed down, but I recognized him because he was in the same outfit that I saw him a week before in. So I have no choice but to believe that Ian McKellen only owns one outfit.
Was it funny to you because when you were walking around outside the convention center at 1 a.m. and you were on Grindr, he's the one that came out?
What's Grindr? I assume that's some gay term.
It's, I don't know for sure. I just know of it based off of my favorite Dan Savage that's in podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
The gayer Dan Savage. But it's like an app that if you're a gay guy, you get on there and you say like, ooh, I'm at this location and I want to suck a dick. And then you would be like, oh, I'm at this location and I want to get my dick sucked. So then you would like meet up on the app. So instead of like going to a bar and shooting the shit, you could just be like, well, this person is only 0.7 miles away from me.
I get it.
That's why gay guys have it made. Forget about getting, yeah, you're going to get beat up once in a while, but if you're into dick, there's no shortage.
Chris is saying that's why gay guys have it made, because like, all you have to do is get on your phone and say, I'm right here and I want to suck a dick, and you can have a dick in your mouth instantly. That's why Chris thinks that gay guys have it made.
Well, yeah.
Like, I have to search to find a dick
in my
mouth.
Gay, then hell yeah, you got it made. They're lucky. They're the lucky ones. It's illegal for them to get married. Boy, I wish it were illegal for us to get married, right, fellas?
Crystal, go on. What's the deal?
Hey, you know, gay should be allowed to get married so they can be as miserable as the rest of us.
Keep going. Come on. Do a whole 5 minutes. Right, give I us have. Your type five on us.
That's all I have. It took me like 6 months to write that.
What famous people did you see but not necessarily meet?
I met, what's his name? Do you know the guy from, have you guys seen the show Awesome Job or Awesome Show Great Job with Tim and Eric?
No.
Okay. I met one of them.
Oh, okay.
I met, I think it was Tim. I met, I have a picture with me and Brian Posehn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'm now updating our friend of the show. These people are all now friends of the show.
Yeah.
So Ian McKellen, definite friend of the show of Shoddy Radio. We'll probably have him on sometime. Same with Brian Posehn.
Posehn would be fun to have on.
I know. So would Ian McKellen.
If you had it your way, Ian McKellen would be a friend with benefits of the show.
What's that supposed to mean?
It means you want to fuck his old butt.
If you just saw a picture of his butthole, would you know that it's an old butthole?
I'm pretty sure.
He would know it was Ian McKellen's butthole.
No, do they start to look different when you're really old? Like if it was just a tight panned in picture of the butthole?
Yeah, there's more ridges. It's like a tree.
You just have to count them.
Yeah.
What count his ass rings.
Also, if he has butt hair, I'm sure it's gray by now. You know he doesn't just ferment his asshole hair.
Well, maybe his asshole went bald.
Maybe he
is that a thing?
I don't think so. I feel like the opposite happens. It starts bald and Hey, anyone ever notice that the hair on your head starts disappearing, it starts moving its way down south? You get it on your back at first, then on your ass, eventually in your asshole. It's like it's migrating.
You get it in your asshole?
Yeah. You don't have asshole hair?
Inside of your asshole?
Well, I mean, what do you consider inside? It's not in my colon.
You can't see it without spreading things.
I don't know. Let's find out.
Can me and Chris name people that we feel like should have been at Comic-Con, and you can tell us if they were or if they weren't?
Yeah, I'll tell you whether or not I ran into them and whether or not they're friends of the show.
I'm not sure how Comic-Con works, but I feel like the most interesting man in the world should have been there.
Oh, yeah. I didn't tell you I met him.
He was there?
Yeah, he's a friend of the show.
Was Betty White there?
Oh, Betty White? From Golden Girls. Yeah, of course she was.
What about Jack from Jack in the Box fame?
Are you talking about Jack in the Box?
You know, Jack Box.
Oh, Jack Box. Yeah, because Jack in the Box wasn't there, but Jack Box was there.
Was Meshack Taylor there?
Meshack, he's coming on the show, I think, coming up pretty soon. Okay. Who else? Oh, you guys should ask some more questions.
Was Patrick Warburton there?
Ooh.
He might have been if, like, Family Guy was doing a thing.
He was the Tick.
Oh, actually, no, I don't think he was there, but he is a friend of the show.
Yeah.
Who was the like scrawny black guy that played that superhero, but it was like meant to be funny and he had a mustache?
Oh, Stephen Urkel.
No.
Robert Townsend?
Like, yeah, was he there?
You talking about Meteor Man?
Meteor.
Yeah.
Man, I loved that movie. Yeah, Meteor Man was there. Yes. Friend of the show, Meteor
Man. He should have just gone dressed as Meteor Man.
Well, he's going to be.
People would have loved it.
And also, no one would believe that that's actually Meteor Man. I was saying, like, if you're a big celebrity, you should just go as whatever character you're famous for playing, because no one actually would believe that you would go as that. Because there was a lot of Gandalfs walking around, but if Ian McKellen was walking around dressed as Gandalf, no one would believe that it was actually Ian McKellen.
Now, there's people there in costumes that were in, like, top-notch costumes, right? They weren't, like, just cheap-ass Rite Aid costumes.
You saw the full spectrum. I mean, it was at both ends. Like, you saw a lot of cheap-ass ones, and then you saw, like, fully functional Iron Man hands with, like, that light and everything in them.
Wow. Was Christopher Lloyd there dressed as Uncle Fester?
That's funny you would say that, because, yes, he was. Friend of the show, Christopher Lloyd, was there dressed as Uncle Fester.
Was anybody dressed as the guy who killed all those people in Colorado?
Man, seriously.
I'm being serious. He is not a friend of the show.
No, he is not a friend of the show.
He's an enemy of the show.
And let me tell you something, Ben. Comic-Con took place before that happened.
Oh, okay.
So.
Now, that would be creepy if you had a bunch of pictures with that guy and then that happened. That's what that
God
guy
damn it,
done.
You just made me laugh.
Huh?
I said, God damn it, you just made me laugh. And now it's going to be out of context. I'm laughing at the tragedy at Aurora.
I think anybody.
What if that guy went there and he had fake guns, but he was dressed exactly how he would have been? Everybody's like, who are you? Then he was just like, fucking, you'll see. Don't you think that'd be crazy?
Yes, that would be a really good idea, actually. If you're going to do a mass murder, to go to Comic-Con dressed as the infamous person that you're going to be 10 days from now.
That way more people can enjoy your mass murder.
God damn it.
Danny, you shouldn't laugh at that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, people lost their lives.
I think it's really fucked up when people go into theaters and shoot innocent people.
Well, I'm glad you said that, Chris, because it's about time someone took a hard stance.
I don't
on
care
that.
Who knows it. I do not support that. I think it's wrong, and I think it needs to stop. He needs to stop shooting people, that guy. And if I ever saw him, I'd tell him to his face, you need to stop shooting people.
And shooting babies.
Yep.
What I would support is...
Fuck. I'm going to be so torn because this is funny, but I don't want to let it go out. It's going to be so hard for me to cut this.
Hold on. I have a thought.
Go ahead.
See, tragedies like this happen because they know that in most states, people aren't allowed to carry a concealed weapon. So here's what needs to happen. I think we should give guns to every person in the world. Mm-hmm. And then that way, when that guy walks in and starts shooting people, somebody should jump up and shoot him. But if you're a good citizen... You just saw a guy shoot some people and then a guy shoot that guy without a trial. So you need to jump up and shoot that guy. But then somebody needs to jump up and shoot you because you just shot a guy who shot a guy who shot some guys.
That is a good idea.
Well, we just need to be like the fucking Wild West and everybody take care of it.
Well, that's a good point. That reminds me of a point that I want to make is that people say that if everyone had a gun, then they could have just shot that guy and he wouldn't have killed as many people. But what they don't ask themselves is maybe those people were all murderers.
And they just didn't
maybe
have.
He had a legitimate grief. And why should you get involved with somebody who might be killing guilty people?
He just happened to, he's been waiting for them all to get together at the same place.
For the record, they weren't, but you don't know at the time. You have to wait till the smoke clears and ask questions later. You have to let other people shoot first, and then you have to ask questions later. That's my policy.
That's a very convoluted policy.
But also...
That's on your business card.
But
then,
hold
right?
on a second. It's come out in the news recently that all these people were innocent, and I want to reiterate that I think it's wrong to shoot innocent people.
But if it had have coincidentally been a bunch of murderers together in one theater watching, why are we doing this?
Well, we're getting the word out that killing people who are innocent and who aren't guilty of earlier murders and all went to the movie theater at the same time, that would be okay. But if they're not guilty of anything, they're totally innocent, it's wrong to shoot them.
Okay. I have a question for you guys. This is a serious question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about making light of something like this? Because we're not, obviously we're not making light of the situation that happened, but we have this conversation occasionally. What's your stance on it? Should things like this be off limits? Because I don't know if my opinion may be slightly changing on this.
I'm just making fun of how everybody gets all sanctimonious and really overly broad with their morals. I'm not making fun of anybody who got shot.
No, I agree. That's that. But I want to explain this type of thing right now because we are definitely going to get some emails about this. So I just want to get into it ahead of time. But it's an honest question too. It's something I've thought about because I don't think anyone who's was affected by this is listening to our show right now to begin with. But if they are, we aren't directly making fun of anything on it. But at the same time, why bother even bringing this up? But
I was more making fun of the people who think that the solution to gun violence is more guns.
Right. I know. I understand all of our points. I guess I'm just trying to give you guys a forum to start explaining ourselves beforehand.
No, I mean, you need to do it in a context of which why everybody understands what you're talking about.
Right.
Now, what's the grace period then to not talk about gun violence? Because if so, we would just never talk about it because somebody's getting murdered with guns every second of every day.
Man, I really brought this bit down to a halt.
Yeah, thanks, asshole. We were having some lighthearted fun making fun of innocent victims, and now you have to get all serious.
Was it Louis C.K. that talked about what kind of person you were by how long you waited to masturbate after 9/11? And then he said his waiting period was after the first tower fell, but before the second one fell.
Well, did you have a preconceived horniness, and it's not your fault that terrorism struck?
Right. What if there were three towers up?
Do you remember that, though? Like, after 9/11 happened, like, did you think that it was a selfish thing to maybe beat off after that?
No, God, no. I have never felt it was selfish to beat off.
Well, I think after 9/11, it really made you think that maybe you shouldn't be so selfish. You should beat off a friend or neighbor.
I like to beat off troops.
Sounds like they're attacking you.
And firefighters and policemen.
The Aurora thing, I always wonder, more and more it gets talked about as like anyone who makes any joke related to any, because didn't Anthony Jeselnik made a joke about it, and a lot of people had a problem with that. Did you hear about the joke he made on Twitter?
I don't even know.
No, what did he make?
Apparently like right after, I don't know how long after, but.
He's like famous for that. That's all he does is try to think of ways to piss people off. But,
but his tweet was,
I mean, if you really got offended by that, the best thing you could do is not tell anybody that you're offended and not even talk about him, because that's what he wants.
He's the guy that does a lot of the roasts. But he said, but seriously, other than that, how was the movie?
That's a great joke.
Hold on, I'm going to look him up on Twitter real quick, because he does some good ones.
For the sake of not being misunderstood, I'll explain myself. Well, I already did.
Yeah.
But I don't ever want anyone to ever not say anything that
they think is funny.
Yes, jokes are only there to relieve stress,
life. Yes, absolutely. That's my opinion too.
And anyone who complains, no.
There's nothing is off limits. I truly believe nothing is off limits. But anybody who would ever
complain about a tragedy they weren't involved in is only doing it to bring attention to themselves.
Well, I think also to try to explain something that that is really unexplainable. Like things like this, you can't prepare for this. You can't rationalize it in any way. So all you can do is sort of, you want something to vent at. So if someone makes a joke, then you have this thing that like, well, that you can't do that. Yeah. It gives you sort of an outlet for this weird human stress that you don't know how to deal with.
There's enough things to get outraged about in the world before we get to Gilbert Godfrey making fun of Japanese people. He's very low on the priority of outrage list. Right.
It's almost worse to joke about the whole Penn State thing, don't you think?
I don't know. Let's see what kind of jokes we can come up with.
Yeah. Well, did you hear what Lisa Lampanelli said about that?
No.
Because, you know, they were talking about taking Joe Paterno's statue down.
Yeah.
And then
I think they did take it down, right?
Well, they did, eventually. Way too long, though, it took them. Yeah. But she tweeted, I think, she said, maybe they should take it down and put it back up in the library to remind everybody to keep quiet.
That's awesome.
I thought that was awesome. I saw somebody on Facebook, a non-famous person, said, hey, if you're really upset about the statue being taken down, maybe you should just turn your head and pretend it isn't happening.
That's great. Those are just satires about how the school handled the situation. That's perfect. Doesn't that
well, what's even worse is when you read the report, it wasn't like he just pretended nothing was going on. He actually stopped people from turning him in, and I guess he did sent out emails and stuff when the university was going to fire him and expose everything, and he talked everybody out of it. So he went above and beyond.
Yeah, good point, Ben. He is a hero.
Yeah, the statue should remain.
You're right, Ben. You're right. It is a tragedy that they took it down. Did you guys see what the Catholic Church said about it?
Mm-mm.
They had the gall to be pissed about like the whole like child molesting scandal. Mm. They said that they should have, what's the guy's name? Not Joe Paterno, but the other guy.
Sandusky.
Yeah, they said Sandusky should have gotten traded. They should have taken him and put him at like Florida State or somewhere else so he could molest other people.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Fuck the Catholic Church. They're what if they, the Penn State did this for what, 10 years?
Yeah, they've been doing it since, God, who literally the Lord knows how long.
God only knows.
I just read a tweet that Anthony Jeselnik sent out about Jerry Sandusky.
Let's hear it.
He wrote, Sandusky guilty of 45 counts of living the dream. And I found another one that he did after Rodney King died. He wrote, goodbye, Rodney King, the original Rihanna.
Man, those are not funny. It just, he really needs to.
Like this one, MCA died? Shit, I didn't even know he was ill.
Man, I'm going to subscribe to this guy.
He's pretty funny.
Well, I know you got to go, Ben, but...
Hold on, let me read some more of these. Right. He has, this Daniel Tosh rape joke controversy really has me second-guessing some of my rapes.
Yeah. I don't care that he made the joke, but it's just not that funny.
I liked it.
It was all right. I thought I saw musical director James Enochs writing something down. I don't know if that was show related or not. Can we read what you wrote down anyway?
Maybe he's writing out his letter about how offended he is of our show.
Let's see what James wrote here. Oh, it's to producer Lyle. Hi, Lyle. I ate a sandwich at your desk today. It's possible that some of the sandwich fell out of my mouth and onto your... Wacom. I don't know what that is.
It's this thing, the drawing pad.
Oh, it's a drawing pad. Lyle's an artist. We're all artists. I can't be sure, though. Only time will tell. Jamie. P.S. I stole, and stole is crossed out, borrowed the Life Aquatic.
You should erase stole.
Jamie got bored during our podcast and had to entertain himself.
Is Jamie really good at drawing?
No, definitely not. Lyle's pretty good.
I feel like Jamie would be because he's like so fucking good at everything else that annoys me.
Thank you, Ben.
Well, you should see him have sex if you really want to be annoyed.
I heard he fucks like a stallion.
He does.
The reason why he's so musically talented is because he cannot perform fellatio on a woman.
Yeah. He has no idea what to do when he's down there.
No.
Not like
us. I bet that's not true. I bet Jamie's gone on the internet and researched cunnilingus techniques. Jamie, tell the truth.
Jamie? Yeah.
I did when I was in college.
I knew it.
I didn't learn anything, though.
But he's such a studier.
Yeah, Jamie.
Don't fall for the trap. Like a lot of people say, you just make the alphabet with your tongue.
No, that's bullshit. You got to feel it.
Yeah, every woman is different.
It's an art, not a science.
Right. And don't be afraid to put your fist in her asshole. Guys, I can't stress that enough.
So if a girl wants you to do the alphabet with your tongue, does she tell you to stop and keep going on lowercase I? I mean lowercase L? Because it doesn't really make sense to stop and put a dot like up at the top.
I really like that stuff.
I like the dot. I thought you were dotting the clitoris.
Yeah, me too.
So then the bottom of your eye would be probably getting some butthole.
Yeah. It depends on how big you draw your eye.
James doesn't seem like the type of dude that would toss a salad, if you ask me.
He's not against it. Not that I know.
Uh, Man, it just got a lot hotter in this room. Yeah.
My specialty is the uppercase J.
I don't even know what that means.
I go the line across.
Oh, all right.
Do you always say uppercase? I say capital.
Sometimes I say capital. A lot of times I'll say uppercase, but sometimes I will say capital. Thanks for asking.
All right, I think we have to end there.
I heard that Chris doesn't do letters, but instead does numbers.
I do Roman numerals.
I knew you were going to say you do Roman numerals.
I count all the Super Bowls backwards.
I do hieroglyphics.
I heard that Chris does numbers so that way afterwards he could say, did you like how I ate your pussy?
Oh, boy. Stop. What's I do calligraphy too sometimes. Mm-hmm. What other forms of art are there? Other forms of writing are there?
Can you do calligraphy with your hand?
No. God, no.
Is that really hard to do?
I just can barely write in general.
That's true. Can you print?
No. God, no.
Do you write in cursive? Does anybody write in cursive?
Jamie does.
I quit in eighth grade.
Did you put in your 2 weeks what?
I really thought, like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm not doing cursive. I'm not going to write in cursive. I'll just type or I'll print. This is it. I decided, fuck this. I'm not learning cursive. That's it. I've taken a stand in not learning lots of things.
Yeah, like algebra. Chris in eighth grade, he's like, fuck this. I'm not going to ever pass algebra. I'm just going to take it 15 more times and never pass it.
Was cursive supposed to be faster or fancier or both?
You can't read it. Everybody has their own style.
I know. James, what do you think? Was cursive supposed to be faster or fancier?
I think a little bit of both.
A little bit of both, just like Jamie.
Yeah.
You told me you had a heart out tonight, man, and I keep trying to let you go, and then you keep not caring. And I don't care, but it makes me feel weird. Like I feel like now I'm trying to get rid of you.
Well,
that's what you have to do. You always have to be the one that lets me go.
Yeah, it's a control issue.
I guess so.
All right, friends. Good job.
Thanks, dude.
Jamie Enochs, good job.
Thank you, Ben.
I miss you.
Who did the sax solo on the intro song?
Chris Hampton.
It's so awesome.
I know. There were a lot of good musicians in that band, but he might have been the best.
I was taking guitar lessons, and I was learning some new chords, and I thought, fuck this. Give me my money back. Why am I paying you to make me feel bad? It's so weird, like taking guitar lessons, and I was like, wait, there's more chords than G, C, and D minor? And I'm like, wait a minute, you want me to stretch out over 4 frets? What the fuck?
WTF, dude.
And my hands are so small, I always wanted to like capo everything off on like the 8th fret, just so that way I could get a good grip of what I was doing.
Might as well just buy a fucking ukulele at that point.
Yeah, no kidding. Well.
Alright, big gulps, huh?
Good job, fellas.
Thanks, man.
Love you all. Miss you all.
I love you too. Alright. Talk to you later.
Bye.
When I was the boss, I'd say, Lucille, take this down. And then I'd point to my belt.
I always have to speak really slow to my produce secretary because she doesn't know shorthand. It's like, remind me to bump up my order on pears.
Ben, since you're a manager, I was wondering if you have any women that work below you. Thank you.
Go ahead, man.
You should just put out 45 minutes of that sound. It'd be better than anything you've ever said. Isn't it funny that like an obscure noise is way funnier than anything, any collection of words he's ever pieced together?
Way funnier.
Okay, I seriously laughed when you were doing that. I thought, wow, that's clever.
I don't know about clever.
It's kind of clever.